Thank you, Lord. Thank God. Praise God. Well, we've been talking for several weeks now. Five, I guess. Let not your heart be troubled. Let's turn to John 14. God gives us what we need, so we must need this right now. You know, we can preach on lots of things, but this is what I have. You know what I mean by that? We can preach on all kinds of things, but if it's not anointed, if it's not where God's directing us, it'd just fall dead. We don't just get up to preach just to preach or to say certain things or sound good. We want to be led by the Holy Spirit. And so we need this as a congregation. We must need it because God has us here. Thank you, Lord. We all are coming up closer to Him. Praise God. John 14, verse 1 says, "Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I'd go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you to myself, that where I am, there you may be also." He said, let not your heart be troubled. And we've been focusing on that, different aspects of that. You know, worry, anxiety, being troubled steals from us. When we yield to that, give into that, go down that path, it steals part of our life. When we spend time doing that, it's really a waste of time. Even if it's only for a few minutes, if it's hours, days, I mean, it steals from us what we could have been doing, nourishing our family, spending time with them, putting into our kids. So many times, I mean, it's just a complete waste of time. Have you ever worried about something or been anxious about something and it just never happened? But you worried it might happen.
Yeah.
And you could spend days worrying about what might happen. People probably, I'm sure. Anybody tempted to worry about this storm we just got through? I know you hear all kinds of, well, what if this, what if this, what if that? Well, you don't know what's going to happen until it's through. And a lot of things you think could happen don't happen. And so what was all that time we invested worrying? It's gone. We only have so many hours, minutes on this earth. And worry and anxiety is a complete waste of that time. Complete waste. And it's worse than a waste. It's not like you're just sitting staring at a wall with your brain completely blank. That would be a waste of time. But worry has negative effects. You actually come out behind when you yield to that. You come out, you're not at the same place as when you came in worrying. You're worse. You're meditating. What are you doing? You're meditating on negative things that may or may not ever happen. And if it doesn't happen, then you get done and go, oh, I'm glad that didn't happen. But that didn't fix the problem because the next thing that comes down, you could worry every day about getting hit by a car and it never happened. In fact, the odds are very low, and if you use common sense, probably never going to happen. But you could spend your whole time worrying about that. You say, oh, that's stupid. Well, there's a lot of other things that we actually do worry about that are really, not to be blunt, it is stupid. If we're looking to our Father God, it's not stupid from our perspective, but if we could see the big picture, we'd go, man, what are you thinking? Why are you worrying about that? If we could see the way God sees, it would not look logical. If we could see into the spirit realm and see what's really going on and see how we're tempted to give into that. You know, Ephesians said we don't wrestle with flesh and blood, against principalities and powers, might and dominion. There are spiritual forces at work. That is not to say everything is spiritual, and it's not to say that you come into contact with the devil himself daily. No. Probably none of us have come into contact with Satan himself. But he has little minions, little demons that go around, and they don't have to necessarily sit there and talk to you every day. They just need to get the ball rolling, and you'll do the rest. Right. Or we'll do the rest, you know? They get you going, push you like that, and then go down the road because you're gonna repeat that thing 1,500 times in the next 3 hours. Yeah. So I don't mean to give the impression everything is demonic or everything. No, but everything stems from that. All the evil in the world came from Satan to begin with. Worry is completely, it's inspired by the enemy. It's not coming from God. God is not upset. He's not worried that he's not going to come through. Now, he is calm, cool, and collected. So all these thoughts, these negative thoughts and the negative feelings and all that stuff, they do have their place rooted in the enemy somewhere. If we don't know that, then you dismiss stuff and you say, oh, that's just me. Everybody thinks that. Well, a lot of people think it because they're thinking on the wrong thing. So anything that sounds like the enemy, anything that sounds like that, we don't want to give place to it. So you start pushing that out, and we can just get thoughts and patterns in our life, and then they stay there. And we just keep, we become to where we're just meditating and put these ruts in our brain. Something happens, we go down this path. We go down this rut. Worry is a habit. Worry is something we learned. We probably learned from our parents, got passed down. Habits. You didn't even know you were picking it up. Way maybe your parents were talking about certain things and you picked up, thought that's the way to talk about this. But you learn, sometimes you may, your eyes are open to say, oh, that's not faith. That's not believing God. Why am I thinking like that? Well, you've heard that since you were three and before. You just didn't know it. So we have things set in place in our life. That doesn't mean we have to keep going down those tracks now. And God will help us to break those habits. And God will help us to get out of them. And God will help us to go down the right way. He knows what we need, and he knows how to get us to the right place. Men can only help you so far. Thank God for, you know, doctors and people that can help us in different ways. We need them. A lot of people will be dead without them. But don't ever take, they shouldn't take the place of God. And so you could read books that analyze or help you with certain emotional things. If there's spirit-filled people that have a perspective about the spiritual side, there's nothing wrong with those. I could recommend a few things. But don't put all your faith in that. Because God knows how to take different things and he knows exactly where we are. He may use things that men have given us. He'll use things, he'll use the word, but he knows ultimately where he wants to get us. And it's a custom-tailored plan to know how to get us from point A to point B. And so if we'll just look to him, don't get your eyes all focused on the natural. Don't just get on the spiritual and say, there's nothing I have to do. No, if we're going to change, we're going to do things, make changes by his help. But just go right down and say, God, what you tell me to do, I'll do it. What should I change? What should I adjust? I can see this. I can see it plain as day I'm doing this, but Lord, I don't know how to get rid of it. Have you ever been there with something in your life? You know what you're doing, but you just don't know how to move it. That's when we go to him and say, God, I don't know how to get this out of my life. Man, I've been doing it for 15 years. Help me. And he will. He'll show you a way out. He'll show you the way out of the forest. He'll say, go here, go there. Start doing that. No, not too much yet. You just get this in place. Now you add this. And he'll get you out. No man can do that for us. No man can do that for us. We have to just, it comes, that's why if we'll look to him and be led by him, he'll show us little by little. That's why it's so vital to have a relationship with him. We just need to be, because as we go down, as we go through life, we'll be led little by little and he'll show us where we need to go. Hallelujah. Let's turn over to 1 Peter 5, verse 6. First Peter 5, verse 6. It says, therefore, humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time, casting all your care upon him, for he cares for you. Casting all your care upon him, for he cares for you. He cares for you. See, we can get our eyes focused on the cast all your care, and that's good. We may talk about that more, and we've talked about don't let your heart be troubled. But we need to know. It doesn't happen in a vacuum. Why should you cast your care upon Him? And so, in other words, people focus on, I know I'm worrying, but I just can't stop it, so I'm going to stop worrying. You can't just stop something a lot of times without starting something else. And looking, this is a key. If you're full of worry and care, or a person is full of worry and care and anxiety, there's a reason why. And if we'll take our eyes off, instead of just focusing, I'm not going to worry, if we'll focus on the fact that God loves us, that He cares for us, and that becomes so real in our hearts, you won't have any reason to worry. It'll replace. See, a lot of times in our hearts, our minds, why we're worrying is because we have a certain mental image of reality or what's going on that doesn't line up with what the Word says. So we're scared of things that may or may not happen, but the more we look at Him and more we get built on the fact that we're just resting in His arms. Just like a child resting in his father's arms. And He's going to take care of me. That'll stop so much anxiety right there. The thought comes up, what about this? He's going to take care of me. He's fine. I'm in His hands. And that'll put you at peace and rest. So much worry comes from us trying to do it in our own strength, in doing things. I'm not saying we don't have things to do. We have responsibilities. There is a man's side. But if you don't get the God side, God has done His part, but if we don't realize what He's done, we won't do the part we're supposed to do in true faith. We'll either be doing it out of works, or we'll be doing it not trusting in His strength. So the foundation, one of the foundational things is to know how much He cares for us. Let's look at this. Well, before we do that, I just want to read a few things about care and anxiety. Care is like a suffering of mind. We know what it is, but these things really bring it out. A suffering of mind, grief, a disquieted state of mixed uncertainty, apprehension, and responsibility that we're taking. It's just a weight. We're taking something on us. We're not stable, not stable is the wrong word, but we're not quiet mentally. We're jittery. We're not calm about our circumstances. Something is riling us up. That may manifest itself in, you know, you doing something on the table constantly, clicking your pen around or whatever, because your mind is upset. Anxiety is a painful, apprehensive uneasiness of mind, usually over an impending or anticipated ill. Doesn't ever have to even happen to be worried about it the whole time. Let's look at this in a few other translations. 1 Peter 5:7 in the NIV says, cast all your anxiety on Him because He cares for you. Cast all your anxiety on Him. Why? Because He cares for you. Because He cares for us. This New Century Version says, give all your worries to Him because He cares about you. The Message says, live carefree before God. He is most careful with you. Casting the whole of your care, the Amplified says, casting the whole of your care. Some people sometimes think, well, you know, okay, I'll give up worrying about these two things, but, you know, I'll just hold on to this. I can take care of this. This big thing, I have no idea how to take care of, so God, I'm going to need your help. But over here, I can take care of it. That's wrong. Carefree, we just read them. Just every care, even about little things. Remember somebody said once, it's not the big things that kill you. It's the little things that add up. It's being in traffic just for too long or something, and that gets you anxious. And then the kids say something, and the meal doesn't go right or whatever, and then the gas pump doesn't work, you know, something. And over the day, it's these little things add up to where you're jittery. You're upset. And nothing really big is happening. But we're not quiet. We snap at people. Why? Because we're disquieted. We're upset because we're not giving all that over to Him. But why would we give it all over to Him? It says, the Amplified says, casting the whole of your care, all your anxieties, all your worries, all your concerns, once and for all, on Him. Why? For He cares for you affectionately and cares about you watchfully. I hope you're getting a picture. If the picture in my heart, I just want to get over to you. He is watching over our life. I mean, our natural reaction sometimes might be, well, He's not doing a very good job. That we live in a fallen world. And see, that is exactly the thing that'll work against us. And this, ultimately, it's pride. Now think of it. Get me what I'm saying here. Because the enemy works this way. He tries to bring it in, and just the thought of, well, God's not watching over me. He's not doing a good job. Why me? Why me? Why is this happening? That asserts that we deserve something better. Now follow me here. If we got what we deserved, any one of us, we deserve hell. We deserve to be crucified. We shouldn't go down talking about what we deserve. What are we saying? I deserve better than this. You know, none of us deserves anything good. We've all sinned, all fallen short of the glory of God. You want to line your life against the Ten Commandments? We've probably done all of them in a measure. You may have not murdered somebody, but you murdered them in their heart. You may not have committed adultery, but you did it in your heart. Have you ever stolen anything? Have you ever not respected your parents? You ever broken the Sabbath? That was the judgment. If we've broken that, we're guilty on all accounts. We deserve hell. We deserve what Jesus got on the cross. If we want to talk about what we deserve, no. God's mercy and grace is getting what we don't deserve. We deserve hell, but because of Jesus, we're going to be in His presence in heaven forever. We deserve to be sick and poor and have our relationships completely broken. But because of Jesus, we don't have to have any of that. So when we exert this thing that, well, why me? Why not you? The other person's lucky, just something didn't happen in his life. It's not. See, when we say, why me, we're saying, I'm too good of a person for this. Do you see this? We're saying God is not doing what He ought to. So what we're doing is impugning and putting God on the judgment seat and us with our few decades of experience saying, I know how to judge, and God, you're wrong. You missed it somewhere. Oh, no, He's not. His judgments are right and true. He has saved our rear end more times than we could probably count if we knew it, what He did behind the scenes. He is a merciful and good God. So that's the wrong question. Why me? And when we think I don't deserve this, we're looking at it wrong. We live in a fallen world and stuff has happened. The good news is Jesus came so that by His sacrifice, we don't have to be judged for all the things that we've done. We can turn it right around and say, God, I don't deserve this. I don't deserve good in my life, but because of what You did and because of Jesus' sacrifice, I can walk in it. Something's attacking your body and say, well, what? Why me? Say, God, You're faithful and good, and I'm looking to You right now. This thing has no right in my body. Why? Because I'm so good? No, because Jesus bought and paid for this. This body belongs to the God Almighty, and this is trespassing because of Him. This has to go. See, now whose side are you on? You're on God's side. Now you have the right perspective instead of saying, why this, why, really questioning Him. And see, as long as you're questioning Him, you're against Him. That's where Satan wants us. He wants us to be kind of looking at God with just kind of a side eye going, yeah, I know you care about me, but why is this in my life if you really cared about me? Is that true or not? This is how he talks. Yeah, I know the Bible says this, but look at reality. Our help, God Almighty, the one that can help us, we're kind of looking at him with, you know, squinty eye going, I don't know about you. I know what I'm supposed to think, but I don't really think that. Because why is this and this? Well, that's as long as we stay there, we're going to keep him at arm's length and we're not going to truly rely on him. If we only knew. It'd be like if, totally made up condition, but if you had a child and loved him dearly and somehow they got separated from you when they were young, and they somehow, or let's say they got kidnapped, they're in a different, and before they really knew you, they're gone from you, and those people kept them and raised that, let's say it's a boy, raised that little boy, and taught that little boy that everything about you, that your real parents abandoned you, your real parents hate you, and told them untold, told that little person untold lies about you. All false. You love that person dearly, love to have them back. And let's say through some circumstance, they finally got that person back into your care and these people went off to jail, whatever. Now this person is in your household and does not trust you at all, thinks you're evil. And none of it's true. You love this person dearly. You're looking at them and say, that's my flesh and blood. I love you. They don't believe you. And they've been told that everything bad that ever happened to them was your fault. Do you see that's the situation God's in. He looks at his creation and he loves them dearly, and we've all been lied to. It's ultimately by his enemy, Satan, that came in and hijacked this, fooled Adam into bowing down to him. The Bible calls Satan the god of this world. He has a lease on it. He is here because he duped Adam over and over. But, over and over, the Bible says that it calls him the one that's in charge. He's not in charge of everything, and he's not in charge of the Christian. But he has lied to people, to mankind, saying God's the problem. God is doing this. Where's God? Didn't he do this in the Garden of Eden to begin with? What did he say to Eve? Did God really say that? That's the first thing out of his mouth is he's asking Eve, God isn't what you think. He's withholding from you. If he's all good, you know, he just doesn't want you to know everything like he knows. That's what he does today. He comes and says, God's your problem. If he was looking out for your back, why are you here? What's going on? Where was he? And God's saying, if they only could see where I was and what I was doing in my heart and all the things I've saved them from. As long as we listen to his lies, we're bound. Can you see that? He is the kidnapper. He is the one that comes to steal, kill, and destroy. And he calls God that. But we know he's a liar. So he comes to you saying, your problem is God. God did this. God let it happen. He maybe not didn't do it to you, but he let it happen. Why? And he's the one that's the author of it all. So as long as we look at God saying, I don't know about you, he's got us. Because he knows he'll just keep feeding us these lies. If we buy him, we're in his control. We'll yield to him. But if we'll know how much God loves us, and that his will for our life is always good, never bad, never. That's not his will. That's not what he wants. Then we'll turn it around to where we're looking at him going, God, I don't see what's going on here, but I know you're good. I know you're faithful. I know that you love me. And in the middle of this, I choose to trust you. I'm not going to listen to these lies. I'm going to believe your word, and I will count you faithful. Now, Satan cannot do anything with that. Now you've cut off him. You're not listening to the lies anymore. And you're coming back and saying, Father, I believe you. I trust you. I don't know why these things happen, but I do know. I know there's an enemy in the world. I know he's the ultimate author, but I'm looking to you. I trust you. You're my God. God, show me how to get out of it. Show me the way out. Whatever you say, I'll do it. I trust your word. Whatever you say, I count that as true. So when those thoughts of worry and anxiety come, See, a lot of times they come because we don't think we're going to be taken care of. We think he's not really there for us. We think that he might let us down. It might not work for us. You don't have enough faith. You ever heard that? What is faith? It's trust. It's assurance. Well, if you don't trust God, that's right. What's he working on? Your trust. You don't have enough faith. It's not about us. If Jesus took it, our job is just to believe what he did. Are we believing what he did when we're saying, I don't know if he's going to come through? We're not believing. Is it something we work up? No. It's just saying, God, you did this, so I believe you. Well, you don't have enough faith. Oh, yeah, I believe him. Well, you don't have... What's happening when he's asking you don't have enough faith? You're getting tested about how much faith you have. What's he trying to do? Pull you off to say it doesn't work? It's not true? So what is happening when the circumstances don't change immediately? What's being tested? Your trust. If everything happened like this, think about it. If every time you just said, hey, go, and this happened, and oh, I pray for this finance, it comes in the next day. Your coworker, if this happened 100 times in a row, your coworkers would be like, well, they jump in. Hey, what's going on here? I mean, everything just happens like this. Boom, boom, boom. That would not be any faith. That'd just be like, wow, I'm going to get in on that. What tries your faith when things don't happen right away? And what are we tempted to do? Say, it doesn't work. Well, what just happened? Did we? If we said, I trust you, I'm going to believe you, but then we say, nah, never mind. What just got tried? Our faith and our trust in him. So when we're anxious and worrying, sometimes we put that we're trying to go downstream and saying, stop being anxious, stop worrying. That's not the real problem. The problem is something in our heart, we don't really trust him. Now, am I saying, well, you just have to work it up so you really trust him? No, we need to hear about how good he is, about how much he loves us, until that becomes so strong that the enemy whispers stuff and we say, no, that's not my father. I know him. I trust him. That's not him. Shut up. There are people, hopefully, maybe not, in your life that you know that you trust. And that if somebody came up to you and started telling lies about them, you'd say, shut up. Who are you? Get out of here. You don't know my wife. You don't know my husband. You don't know my brother. You don't know you're my parents. People go to blows saying, you say that again, you're going down. Right? Well, we need to know God to where we know him. How does that happen? We just fellowship with him, spend time with him through his word, to where somebody says something about him, Satan whispers something, oh no, God's doing this and he doesn't have your back. Shut up. He has my back. His word says it, I believe it. Yeah, but shut up. I'm going to rest and be carefree. Well, yap, whatever. I'm just going to sit here and I'm going to let God come through because I can't do anything about this anyway. My job is to trust him. Yeah, I'll do what I'm supposed to do in the natural. I'll go to work and whatever, but God's ultimately going to change that. He's my source. Do you see the difference? What's driving? You're not trying not to worry. You are trusting him. The worry goes out the window because you're so convinced that you have a loving father and that he cares, that he is not just off somewhere. Yeah, I care about them, number 566,028. No, he knows the number of hairs on our head. He knows what you did the last 10 minutes. He knows what you're thinking right now. Every one of us. He sees everything, and it says he's watching. Say, I'm taking care of them. Oh, this is coming up. They're going to need that. All right. Make sure this is happening now. If we're walking with him and be on the right track, everything's going to be taken care of. It's when we get off, start worrying about stuff, we start doing stuff that he's not telling us to do, wandering around, that's when we're yielding to the enemy and what he would want us to do. But it says, let's read the Amplified one more time before we go on. Casting the whole of your care, all of your anxieties, all of your worries, all of your concerns, once and for all, on him. For he cares for you affectionately and cares about you watchfully. Does that give you a mental image? He's just watching. Yep. They need this. All right. Yeah, I'm coming. I'm coming through. You watch. You'll have it. He is taking care of us. Let's read this in the Living Bible. Let him have all your worries and cares, for he is always thinking about you and watching everything that concerns you. How can he think about all of us at the same time and look at everything? Because he's the great I am. He's God. That's like saying, you know, your current smartphone is way more powerful than any desktop or probably mainframe that in the 1980s. That thing could do one thing and little things, you know, maybe a couple things and not very well. Your smartphone will blow that away, do 15 things at once and the graphics and everything. Well, God is that much farther above us. We say, how can he do it? You know, he is so far ahead of us that it is not even a question. He's God. He is that many more levels. We can see it in technology, and technology is nothing to him. He is so much further. He can handle it all, not miss a beat. He knows everything about all of us and everybody else in the world, everybody that's ever existed, and he just doesn't even break a sweat. He knows, and yet he can make sure everything happens, and he's our Father. He cares about us. That being cares about us. Right where we're at right now. He knows everything we're going through right now. Everything. And he's seen the end of it. And he has an answer. Everything. He is the answer. He knows what to do. Hudson Taylor, who is a missionary to China, said this. He said, let us give up our work, our plans, ourselves, our lives, our loved ones, our influence, our all, right into God's hand. And then when we have given all over to him, there will be nothing left for us to be troubled about. Just give it all into him. Aren't you worried about anything? Nope. Nothing? Nope. I didn't say you wouldn't be tempted. We'll be tempted. Oh yeah, you'll be tempted to worry about stuff, but can you resist it? Yes, you can. By his grace, we can say no. Oh, but what are you going to do? I'm going to trust him. I'm going to trust him. He's working it out. He'll do it. He'll do it. Yeah, but there's this and this, and you're just hiding your head in the sand. No, I'm not. I'm trusting Almighty God. There's a difference. And I'll do what he tells me to do. He tells me to move, I'll do it. He tells me to act, I'll do it. Thank you, Lord. Let's read on your sheet, 1 John 4, verse 9. It says, in this, the love of God was manifested toward us, that God sent his only begotten Son into the world that we might live through him. In this is love, not that we loved God, but that he loved us and sent his Son to be the propitiation for our sins. That's love. He has given his only Son. You say, how does that work? I don't know all the details, but the Bible continually calls Jesus a man. When they saw him last, he looked in the form of a man. Something happened. He identified with us. It says the man, Jesus Christ. He identified with mankind. He laid down his only Son. Jesus laid down his life for us. It's not about what we did for him. He's already taken care of it. We just need to know that he is on our side and that he loves us. Thank you, Lord. Praise God. Proverbs 3, 5, and 6. We read this. Just look on your sheet. We won't turn there. It says, trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him and he shall direct your paths. Trust in the Lord, trust. See, trust. 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 Just give up trying to figure it all out and just trust him and say, God, you're big enough. With all your heart. Just put it on Him. Say, God, I'll trust You. I don't know how. You're trusting Him the most when you don't know what's going to happen. When you have it all figured out, it doesn't take as much trust. But when you're like, I have no idea. God, here you go. You're trusting Him. And lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge Him, and He shall direct your paths. Psalms 32:8 says, I will instruct you and teach you in the way you should go. I will guide you with my eye. Look at this in the Living Bible. It makes it really clear what He's saying. I will instruct you, says the Lord, and guide you along the best pathway for your life. I will advise you and watch your progress. Does that sound like somebody that cares about us? He is our chief counselor. He loves us. He is on our side. He said, let's read it again, I'll instruct you. Think of this. The Almighty says, I'll instruct you. I'll show you. And guide you along the best pathway for your life. Anything we need. Job decisions, relationship decisions, money decisions, health decisions. He'll say, I'll guide you along the best one, best pathway. There's 15 ways I could choose here, God. I'll show you the best one. I'll show you the way to go. And He can do it. If He says, hey, if we need, we're like, I don't know what to do. That's a good time to talk to Him about it. He'll say, I'll show you the best one. And He'll never lead us wrong. Never. 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 Oh, He is a good God. You know, we say, oh, this is getting overwhelming for me. Well, I understand feeling that way, but just don't give in that go. I just don't know what to do. That's a good time to go to Him and trust Him. And to say, Lord, I don't know what to do. You're the Almighty. I just choose to trust You. And it is a choice many times. You choose not to listen to your feelings or your emotions and say, right now, man, I could choose to go over here. I don't see a lot of things, but I choose to trust Him. I'm going to put it all on His court. Lord, show me. Show me. I trust You. I trust in Your goodness, and whatever You tell me to do, it'll be good. Thank You, Lord. It'll be good. He said, I'll guide you along the best pathway for your life. I will advise you. You know, people look into all kinds of people to get advice. Well, that's not bad. But for the plan of God for your life, there's one person that knows exactly what you're supposed to do, and that's Him. If we'll look to Him, say, God, I need Your advice. He said He'd advise us. I don't know what to do here. Thank God I have Him. I can call up and say, God, what's the plan? I want to stay on the best pathway. Which way do I go now? Can You please advise me? And He said He would. He said, I'll advise you and I'll watch your progress. I'll watch you as you're coming down the path. I'll say, yeah, I'm watching. Yeah, you're getting better there and you're getting better there. Yeah. Now, why don't you do this? That's why it's so vital to just stay on His side and keep asking Him. Because He's going to continue to advise us. He's going to continue to help us. One more scripture. Let's just turn there. Psalm 55. Thank You, Lord. Thank You, Lord. Psalm 55:22. It says, cast your burden on the Lord, and He shall sustain you. He shall never permit the righteous to be moved. Cast your burden on the Lord, and He will sustain you. A few things in the margin of my Bible. It says, to maintain, sustain. To maintain, to nourish, provide food, bear, hold up, protect, support, defend, to supply the needs necessary or the means necessary for living. He's got our back. He is sustaining us. We'll look to Him and just cast that care over and say, Lord, You're going to sustain me. You're going to uphold me. You love me. You care for me. Lord, I just leave it in Your hands. Hallelujah. Thank God. I want to close with this. J. Arthur Rank, he's an English executive. He decided to do all his worrying on one day each week. When I read this first years ago, you can get in the habit of trying this. It's a good thing. You just keep pushing it off. He said he chose Wednesdays. When anything happened that gave him anxiety and annoyed his ulcer, he was going through something, that worry will cause physical problems. He would write it down and put it in his worry box and forget about it until next Wednesday. The interesting thing was that on the following Wednesday, when he opened up the worry box, he found that most of the things that had disturbed him the past 6 days were already settled. It would have been useless to have worried about them. So much of what we do, it is useless when we worry. If we'll just get it in our head, if you have to use that as a tool, even to help you with the doing part, say, you know what, I believe I'll worry about that next Wednesday. And then when Wednesday comes, say, you know what, I think I'll worry about that next Wednesday. The things that are still there. I tell you what, you just keep pushing it off. And it's seriously, if you do this, you will realize, you don't even have to write them down. You just look back over the week. And look at all the things that you were tempted to worry about and didn't, and see how many of them were real deals. There are a few things that may be there, but most of them, they're gone. And then the ones that are, you say, I think I'll just table that to next Wednesday. No use doing it today. I'm just going to worry about that later. And we just, instead of worrying, keep our eyes focused on Him and just trust Him. And we just keep going through life till that becomes the pattern. That becomes the pattern. Lord, I trust You. And the more you go on, like we before service or in the middle of service, there were some things coming out. The more you go on and see Him be faithful in your life, those become stepping stones. You look back and say, oh, He was faithful here, and He was faithful here. God, You'll be faithful here. You know, I remember how I felt in the middle of that storm, but look what happened. Well, I'm tempted to feel that same way now, but He's coming through. He's got an answer just like He did there, and He will. I think I'll just rest. In Him. Amen. Thank You, Lord.